Welcome to The West Steps. The West Steps is a podcast from the Colorado Children's Campaign that explores issues that impact Colorado kids and families. I'm your host, Beza Tedes. Welcome to another episode of The West Steps. I am very excited for this week's conversation, and I think this might be the first time for The West Steps. We have four guests in the house, and I think this is going to be one of probably my favorite conversation in the last four seasons. So I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves. I'll start with Sarah. And Sarah, maybe once you're done, you can call on to somebody else and they can introduce themselves.
Great. Hi, Beza. I'm Sarah Barnes, and I'm the manager of special policy initiatives at the Colorado Children's Campaign. And one of the things I get to work on is our family economic prosperity work, which includes some really exciting work on the TANF program. So I'm happy to be here with other folks today, and I'm going to turn it over to Corey next to introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Corey. I'm a continuous learning and data coach from Clayton Early Learning, right, located right here in Northeast Denver. And I was a TANF recipient in the years 2010 through 2011. So I have a little bit different experience than as the present today, but happy to talk about the wonderful changes that have been made and are going to be made by hoping to pass this bill.
Awesome. Thank you. Nice to meet you, Corey. Kayla, do you want to start?
Sure. Hi, I'm Kayla Frawley, and I am the manager of policy and advocacy at Clayton Early Learning. And I often like to proudly introduce myself as a former Head Start mom.
Hi, everyone. My name is Elaysia Vonner. I am a single mom of two beautiful girls, an advocate, and I am also a community ambassador coordinator at Clayton Early Learning, and I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for all of you for being here. This is very exciting. So I heard you mention something called TANF. What is it? And any of you can take it, and maybe Corey can start since I think her perspective is unique here.
Well, TANF is Temporary Aid for Needy Families, known here in Colorado as part of the Colorado Works program, and provides financial support to families who have means far below the federal poverty level. Right now, a parent with two children must make less than $421 a month to qualify for TANF. And even before the pandemic, families enrolled in TANF were facing some very great financial barriers, and probably during and after the pandemic, even far greater barriers in that amount of money being allocated to them to survive for the month.
So I think I heard that, but I'm going to ask it again, because for somebody who doesn't know a lot about TANF, that seems crazy. So for a family of four, how much did you say?
Family of, it would be three, a parent with two children, $421 a month.
Okay. So as a single person, I probably need two, three times that to just even make rent. So I just want to establish the base where we're starting this conversation from. And I think, you know, our listeners are not new to conversations around government programs, but I think there's always a black box that when we think about assistance for families who are experiencing financial instability, that we are thinking about a lot of money. That's where I want to start. And maybe, Sarah, you could say a little bit more about the program, how it's structured, but I just want us to be clear where we're starting here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to Corey's point, it's just, that is just one piece of evidence, right? That the TANF program really is outdated in a lot of ways. When we think about what it, how it was designed to help families way back in the 90s, right? Even then, the amount of assistance that families were able to receive in TANF was too low. And the level of poverty that a family had to be experiencing to be able to access the program was too low. And now here we are in 2022, after or still in the middle of, in some ways, a pandemic. And really, we haven't done much to update that those numbers or those qualifications since the 90s. And so now, especially given how expensive it is to live in Colorado in particular, yes, to pay rent, to pay for childcare, to buy food, to get around this city, to work, it is expensive. And it is not realistic to expect a family, you know, in the TANF program, that same family with one adult and two children right now, if they are able to enroll in TANF, they can receive cash assistance each month in the amount of $508. And that is also not nearly enough for a family of three to meet even their very, very basic critical needs.
And if it's okay, I might just like add to this interesting part of TANF where we really do have to look at the history of why the program was created in the first place, right? And so when we look at that, you know, we know that it came by way of, you know, a block grant through the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation. It was supposed to be sort of this program that reduced out of wedlock pregnancies. You know, it was targeted to single moms, right, to promote and form and maintenance of two parent families. It was supposed to provide assistance to needy families so children can remain in their homes. And it was really supposed to move families from welfare to work. And I think that to Sarah's point, because we have not lifted the federal poverty line since the 90s, the work that TANF families often enter into are low wage poverty jobs. So the gray zone between the amount of money you can get from TANF and what it actually takes to be financially sustainable in a city like Denver, Colorado, is a wide range. And so TANF is barely scratching the surface of even meeting the objectives it's set back in, you know, the early 1900s, right? Like when we started even formatting what the TANF program was for. But, you know, at the crux of the history of TANF, it really was to assist single moms and to get them to get into the workforce because you don't have a choice if you're a single parent, you have to be in the workforce. And so I think it's important to highlight that history, that even the original principles and objectives of TANF have not even been met by the TANF program yet. Just wanted to add that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very interesting perspective. And I think the history means, I think, you know, how and who qualifies are embedded into that program. And I wonder if any of you could talk a little bit about who benefits, what are the qualifiers, and how easy or how hard is it to navigate that program?
Well, like Kayla said, you have to be, you know, maybe a single mom or a single dad, just a single parent, or there is also resources for grandmothers or people who are taking care of another child that's not theirs. However, you have to have a kid that's from 0 to, I believe, 18 years old to qualify. You have to be under a certain income base. Either you're not working at all or the job you have now is under a certain amount, which is not even a lot, because if you make $12 an hour, you're going to get took it out of TANF, honestly. And that's not even living wages here in Colorado at all. So if you make minimum wage, you're not qualified for TANF right now, unfortunately, even though the minimum wage is not really doing anything for any of us. However, you're not qualified, but you have to have children on 0 to 18 to be qualified and under a certain income level.
Yeah. And what can you tell us about what it's like navigating TANF? What is the, so if I have two kids and I'm a single parent, what is that like?
It's stressful. Like Sarah has said, you only get $508 a month with two kids and yourself. Not to mention, you have to still find ways to pay rent. You could be health. It's beneficial if you have like a income-based apartment complex where they go off of your income. But if you don't live in somewhere like that, you're probably homeless. There has been a time where me and my oldest was homeless on TANF. I didn't have a place to stay because I couldn't afford a place to stay. So I was going back and forth in motels or at family's house for over 4 to 5 months until I could figure more resources out and get myself a job that I can, that would be enough to afford an apartment or get into a program that would help me and my daughter. So you have, and then you get food stamps too, you do, but that's not going to help you pay your phone bill or pay for gas in your car or for a car, or just the necessary stuff you need on a daily basis, like milk if your child is an infant or diapers. Like $508 really doesn't go pretty far. So you have to find different ways to make sure you and your kids are okay. So it is stressful. You have certain, for me, when I was on TANF, I had multiple case managers. It wasn't consistent. So nothing really got done because I was talking to 10 different people every other week. So it can be stressful if you don't know what you're doing and you don't have the right people and support. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think stressful is understatement there, but it seems that, the system is not designed to get people out of the financial insecurities they are in. Maybe you can share a little bit about what is specifically it looks like in Colorado. What is that navigating that system looks like? Are there, you mentioned a little bit on having multiple case managers, and what does that do for a family? And what is that like to, having to figure out all these avenues, but the program itself seems very difficult to navigate on its own alone, right? Like the money isn't sufficient enough to get you out of the circumstances you're in, but navigating in itself, the program itself seems very stressful. I wonder if you can share a little bit more about that.
I had two case managers for what they would be called a BDA at the time. Okay. Cause in 10 years, a lot has changed. At the time I had a BDA, and I don't remember what the title of the other person was, but one of the biggest problems is that you can never speak to anybody directly at the time you need to speak to them. If you're running into a situation, at the time I was doing TANF, I had to account for my days, every single day of work search. I had to account for that. Like say if my kid was sick or something, like I didn't have a way to really report that I couldn't do work search that day because my daughter was sick and I couldn't get out and search for a job. And that was kind of difficult because then there has to be all this rectification at the end when you turn your paperwork in at the end of the week or at the end of the month. That wasn't easy. And just a, just to explain the uniqueness, in 2010, I moved here from Oklahoma. I moved back to Colorado from Oklahoma. And in Oklahoma, it was, as long as you had a job, you could get child care assistance. But when I came to Colorado, in order to get child care assistance, you had to be on welfare. Now, mind you, I'm a degreed person. I have a bachelor's degree in child development, very capable of acquiring employment. But I could not even accept job offers because I didn't have child care. So I had to essentially get on welfare in order to acquire child care assistance. And so, first of all, it was demeaning and it made me feel very bad about, you know, just even making the decision to come back to my home, my native state, if you will. But I did it because sometimes there's no pain, no gain, right? So I got on welfare, and sure enough, even though I did have job offers, once I did acquire childcare, well, those positions just weren't paying enough. And so it would have been like I was working against myself still. And so I stayed on the program, and then I got put into a program called the J4 program. And they put you in it's like workforce, and they give you job skills, and you do these classes, and that's essentially how they accounted for my time daily, as if it was a job. And I'm a single mother of three children, and so my stipend was only $521. And if it was not for my parents, who I was able to stay with, like, we would have been homeless, pillow to post, you know, every night. But thankfully, I did have that support. And even after my TANF experience, after I was able to secure a job, which is here at Clayton Early Learning, very proud to say that, I still had to live with them for a year in order to save up enough money to make a full transition to my own place. And all the, you know, 2 months in, I received two more payments, and then they were stopped. And, you know, just from then I had to save, and so I could get us our own place. But yeah, and since then things have changed. It's not as strict and as strenuous, but there's still work that needs to be done, and getting, raising or increasing the basic cash assistance will be greatly important. And I'm hoping that with the new, sorry, I left my notes at the other desk. I had to find somewhere a little more quiet. Even after, like, families need more help. If you find yourself in a position to need TANF assistance, you probably need more things, right? If you get there and you need their help, you probably need shelter. You probably need help with heating costs. You're most likely receiving food stamps. And that's helpful, very, very helpful. But there's more, you know, there's more. And we're just hoping that this bill really gets at doing the more and of really helping people to sustain themselves after being on the or while on the program and after getting off of the program.
Yeah. And maybe this is a good place to jump into what Colorado's trying to do right now to strengthen TANF and remove some of these barriers to solutions.
Yeah, I'm happy to start with that, but I think the one piece of the work that the TANF Coalition, of which everyone in this conversation is a part, is trying to do is get at that cliff effect, which is, you know, when both Alicia and Corey were talking about the fact that folks who enroll in TANF in Colorado. And then they're trying to get connected to work and employment, find housing, help their family get back on their feet. And the minute they get a job and that starts to happen, they're suddenly thrown off the TANF program because the cliff is so steep that the minute you make just barely start to work, you're suddenly not eligible anymore. And so that's a big part of what we're trying to improve, is to say we need to update the way TANF thinks about how people are sort of enrolled in the program, and then how can they be allowed to get a job, you know, meet some of their career goals, start to work, start to get their feet under them, and then smooth kind of create more of like an off ramp, right, from the program, so that families are able to, when they don't need to be enrolled in TANF anymore, then they have been set up on a path for self-sufficiency in a truly meaningful way, which, you know, to Kayla's point earlier, is the point of TANF, but it's not achieving that right now because the way it's designed, it doesn't give families that chance to really get their feet under them long enough to be able to then do that instead of getting disenrolled from the program, you know, the minute they get a job that may not even pay minimum wage.
Yeah. So we could talk about this for a long time, and I'm hoping that once the bill is introduced, we can meet again and talk a little bit more in depth about the bill and some of the practical solutions that are proposed in the legislation. But if I, as a closing question, maybe, like, what is something people can do right now? I know the bill is not introduced yet, but what is something people could do to join this conversation? What can they do to amplify the need for this legislation?
I would definitely say use your voice. If you have lived experience, right now is the time to say something. This is the perfect opportunity to let your story be told. There's a lot of people that are dealing with the same type of thing, and us being silent is not going to help or change anything. We all need to make sure they're hearing what's going on so they can change these issues and change these policies. Like Kayla said, it was for us to get on our feet, and the cliff effect has caused it to be just worse for a majority of people. So we need to let our voices be heard, let them know what's going on so it can actually help instead of hinder a lot of people in our community.
You know, something that makes me think of folks that maybe work in direct service and how to better serve families that are on TANF, folks that receive TANF or any safety benefit program, it is totally the responsibility of the caseworker or the case manager or the family service worker to understand the basic math of what that means. And so if we're talking about job placements, we have to sit down with families and be honest that this extra dollar an hour or this extra $3 an hour will not get your family where it needs to be, because unfortunately these programs have limitations that are not setting our families up for success. And we have to have honest conversations and crunch numbers with families so that they can make the best choice for their family. And I think those transparent conversations are not happening. And so we need to take it upon ourselves, those of us that work in direct service, that we have to learn how to crunch those numbers with families. Even if we're doing family engagement and we're involving families that are TANF recipients or safety benefit program recipients, we have to also make sure that if we're paying a stipend or we're compensating families, that we're not putting that family in a bad situation come tax season. Right? We're not pushing them out of an income bracket so then they lose their benefits. And so we really have to be really, really sensitive to those numbers so that families feel set up to take on a new job or to wait till they get that huge income jump.
I think, and then just the last thing I'll mention that folks can do right now, as you heard us talk about the TANF Coalition, is that if you want to get involved in advocating for or following this policy, definitely reach out to me at the Children's Campaign. You can find me on the web, on our website, and we'll make sure that you get added to the coalition list, and we'd love to have you.
Well, anything else to add before I get you out of here?
I just wanted to
go ahead.
I just wanted to amplify what Alicia said, that you know, what we're really excited about, you know, about this TANF bill is that there has been so much emphasis in the TANF coalition to center the voices of TANF recipients. And I just imagine this incredible future where only TANF recipients, former or present, are the ones running TANF programs, are the ones setting the bar for how much people should get. Like, that is the expertise that we need to center in any decision making. And so we know a component of this bill is to really make sure that TANF recipients, former and present, have some kind of power in decision making and influencing any policies that have to do with TANF. And we have to just like continue to preach that to the choir, that those people have the expertise, right? They have lived the stress that those of us that have not been TANF recipients just simply can never understand. And so they will always have the best input in creating the policies we need to better serve families in TANF.
That's right. Well, I just want to say thank you so very much for your time, for sharing your lived experience. That's invaluable, for working on this legislation that will change families' lives. My deep gratitude to you. And hopefully we will have a similar conversation in the next few weeks when the bill is signed. I'm very grateful for your time, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of The West Steps. The West Steps is a production of the Colorado Children's Campaign. If you want to support our work, please visit our website at coloradokids.org. And see you next week. Thank you.